that Jesus loves me and my sins are washed away. If you do not know that this hour, Jesus Christ is pleading with you through the Word and through the Scriptures and also through the Spirit of God that God loves you. It don't matter what you've done, how you behave, but God loves you. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. There's nothing that you can do to cause God to accept you. He accepts you because He have created you and He loves you. He would like to save you. If you're here today and you have never been saved, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I didn't say believe about Him, because everybody believes about Jesus that's here today. But how many of you have really accepted Him and had an experience with Him? If your sins are being forgiven, and I'm telling you, washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a great blessing. Today, don't forget, at the end of the service, we'll be taking up money for the Annie Armstrong, for that's for our home mission board. Have somebody in the foyer. If you feel like free to give, please do so. This will be the month for our mission, our home mission board. This morning, I hope you have your Bibles here this day. I would like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Before revival, I was preaching a series of these parables in chapter 13 of Matthew, the parables about the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. Jesus Christ tried to tell every one of us that there is a great place made for us. It's called heaven. How do we enter into heaven? I know that everybody wants to go to heaven. There's nobody I've ever talked to said, no, I really don't want to go to heaven. I really want to go to a place called hell. I've never talked to anybody that really have told me that. Most everybody I've ever talked to says, yes, I really, really want to go to heaven. Even people that nearly don't really understand about heaven or hell, they still believe that God is going to send them to heaven. Now, they say God would not be a just God if He sent anybody to hell. God do not send anyone to hell. That is your own choosing. You choose to go to hell. You have to step over the blood of Jesus Christ to go to a place called hell. Hell was not made for mankind, but hell was made for those who have rejected Jesus Christ as a lost and lost. Rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're lost without Jesus Christ. So hell was made for the devil and his angels, and not mankind. Have you really accepted Jesus Christ? You know about Jesus Christ, but have you accepted Jesus Christ? Have you come forward and made the whole world know that you have accepted this great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ and would be willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, going through the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior? There's a mystery to the kingdom of heaven. In these seven parables that Jesus taught in chapter 13, all seven of these parables are tied together. Do not lift one of these parables out of their context, because you will not get the right interpretation. I told you, if you get the wrong interpretation, you'll have the wrong application in your life. So now we're talking about the mystery of Israel. The mystery of Israel. This is the fifth of these mystery that He has told us about the kingdom of heaven. This fifth parable this morning. As we look at this in verse 44, we'll find about the mystery of Israel. God's covenant people that He's talking about now. I don't think none of us today are Jews, but also we're talking about the nation of Israel today and what God is doing in the nation of Israel right now. Well, what about the application for us? You can be sure if God says, my nation of Israel, I have chosen, I have protected, and I put my great power into that nation, I put my promise in them, and what I said will come true. Well, that same thing what God says to you and I, you can be assured of the word of God, the promises God has made you and me today. We will certainly one day see those blessings and see those promises come true. God will make sure of that. God have a covenant people He's dealing with in these verses of Scripture now, and it's called Israel. Now, these mysteries now is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is a mystery? Mystery is something that you cannot learn any other way except by divine revelation. by divine revelation. Remember, Paul says, I want to show you a mystery, and then begins to deal about the church. Well, there's no way that any of the Old Testament saints could understand the mystery of the church because God did not reveal it to any of these great, great prophets all in the Old Testament. No matter how great they were, God did not let them understand and reveal to them what's happening to you and I today. It's called the church age. They couldn't understand it. Even until Jesus Christ came, they still couldn't understand it. Paul says, I want to show you a mystery. And then Jesus Christ and the Word of God revealed the mystery to what you and I call today the church age. Now, a parable, he began to teach the people in parables. A parable what? Is to conceal and to reveal. He began to conceal things from those unscriptural people, some of those Jews and Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, and made fun of it. They're not really understanding. They didn't want to know about the kingdom of God. So he began to conceal some things from them by teaching them in parables. And then also he began to reveal things to people that wanted to know more and more about heaven. As I said, you keep these seven in this context. If you take them out, you're going to get the wrong application and interpretation. He gave now these first four that we've already been over, he gave them to the Jews and also all to the multitude at that time. You remember now the first one he gave about the four types of soil. And when people look around the day and they say, well, it looks like the gospel has failed, it looks like the church is failing, it looks like everything is failing. And then Jesus Christ told these disciples, also these multitude, I want you to look down from the far scenes now and you see some things. And these four first parables he gave them about what's happening you and I today is things we can't understand until we look back into the scriptures. Well, he said about one out of the four of these types of soil, you know, some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell on hard ground and all this, but you see there's only one of those hearts was accepted to the Word of God. A lot of people heard today. All of these maybe had come to church. All these old hearts had come to church. There was nothing wrong with the Word of God. That is a seed. But there was something wrong with the hearts of people today. Maybe each one of these had come to church from time to time. They had heard the Word of God. Some people maybe had come down and even they had been baptized and joined the church themselves and they come for a little while. Some might even sung in the choir and said, man, I can't wait to get back on Sunday night where I can hear again, where I can sing again, but where are they at today? Some of these seed fell on ground that was not profitable. There was nothing wrong with the Word of God. The same Word of God is for everybody. Sitting here in this building today, the Word of God is for everybody. The hearts are different. The only thing is because the hearts are different. And how will you receive the Word of God? Have you ever been saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever repented of your sin and accept Jesus Christ to come in your heart and to save you? Only one type of soul is only a soil that was really good soil and took seed. And then there was the wheats and the tares. It says, you know, the good man sowed the seed. The seed is the Word of God. In the field, you know, out in the field, and he sowed wheat. And then the devil come and he sowed tares. Well, you know, the worker says, let's go and pull up some of these tares. He said, no, don't pull up these tares. It's going to look so much like the wheat. You'll pull up these wheat also. Well, let them both grow until the time of harvest, and I will send my angels, and they will harvest both of them, the wheat and the tares, and they will separate them at that time. So you see, you really can't tell today. There's a lot of church members today that claim they're saved. There are a lot of people who claim to know Jesus Christ, whether they're a member of the church or not. They claim they're going to heaven. They claim they're good people. They claim that they know what's going to happen to them. But you see, a lot of time they just tares growing along with the wheat. And we can't tell as individuals, but one of these days there will be a judgment. One of these days it's going to come, and God knows who's saved and who's lost. God knows the wheat from the tares. And then come the mustard seed. Well, we know the mustard seed is a small mustard plant we plant out there in our garden, and it says that this mustard seed growed. It come a abnormal mustard seed, and it grew till the birds of the air got so big it become a tree. It got so big that the birds of the air began to nest in this mustard seed and the mustard plant. Now, we know there's something wrong there. It's abnormal. So we find that it is the gospel. You know, come out of the gospel, there's a great monstrosity today that came out of the gospel and never intended to be. It never intended to be a mustard tree. It's supposed to be a mustard plant. But yet we find out that throughout the gospel, we have what we call this mustard tree. It is abnormal. What you find in Christianity today among God's people, what people claim to be saved, what people claim to be Christian today, it is abnormal. It is not normal this day. And then the leaven of the cakes, or the leaven of the bread. We know that leaven, it talks about the evil today. And so we know that the evil of doctrine has infiltrated the churches today. And it's penetrated our churches, and it's penetrated into the gospel this day. And what we have here is the evil into the gospel today. It has been watered down for many generations, and each generation gets watered down a little bit more with the yeast, the evil of this false doctrine today. Now, as you look at these four of these parables, you see, well, the world looks like it may be getting a little bit gloomy. Well, it is. If you look down the times and you see how what we're looking at this day, look like God's work's being defeated. It looks maybe like the God's work being defeated. Maybe it'd even be failing the day that we're living in. The worldview looks a little bit gloomy today, because we know that Christianity is not on the uprise and gaining more and more people every day as it should, but percentage-wise, it's coming down. Well, that gives us a little gloomy feeling today. Well, the disciples now was getting very low at this time whenever Jesus Christ had been preaching to the multitude and the disciples now for these four parables. But now at this time, it says now in verse 36 that Jesus Christ gave them three more parables. And in these three parables, it says the multitudes went away. In verse 36, it said, then Jesus sent the multitudes away. Now, the multitudes is not with them no more. They heard the first four. Now, the multitudes not with them anymore, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him. And then he gave them three more additionals of these parables about the kingdom of heaven. Let you and I know that God's work is on schedule. God's work is going to be victorious here on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 32, it divides the whole human race in three different parts. And those three different groups always will be the same in these three different groups. They are Jews, they are Gentiles, and they are the church. All the whole people of this world is in these three groups. Now, the scripture will be talking, always the scripture will be talking to one or more of these three groups. It'll be talking to the church, it'll be talking to the nation of Israel, it might be talking to both, or it's talking to the Gentile nation as a whole. Now, we're talking about the Jews, the church, and the Gentiles. Now, all these scriptures now have been addressed as we see this. Now, as you look in this parable, I believe you'll see the truth this morning. Just let the Spirit of God work in your heart and your life, and you just see what God has for us to see in these parables. The treasure is what God is doing with the Jewish nation right now. And the next parable will be the pearl of great price, is what God is doing with the church right now. And then the third one will be the net, and what God is doing to reach lost souls today. This parable of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning today. Now, this story, as I read this in verse 44, we begin to read. It says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. Now, here's a man walking out in the field, or he's plowing out in the field. Somehow or another, he discovers this great, great treasure out in that field. And, you know, after he finds this place for a while, we said it was hid, so we know he had to find it. It was hid. He uncovers it and began to look at the beauty of this treasure. He began to look at the beauty of this treasure and see the worth of this treasure. And he just admired this treasure for so long. And he knew he had to go and buy the field. So he covered it up again, and he goes and buys the field, not for the sake of the field, but for the sake of the treasure. Now, a lot of misunderstood interpretations here of this. We find this a lot of time because it's took out of context. A lot of times you have your Sunday school lessons, a lot of commentaries. Here, I believe, absolutely has it wrong by man. But see, all this is written by man. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and see what it's talking about. Some of them says, you know, the treasure hid in the field is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pearl of great price is the Lord Jesus Christ. And a sinner goes and finds this treasure. And, you know, he sells all he has, and he goes and buys Jesus Christ. You know, that sounds pretty sweet, but it's not right, and it's not correct. You don't buy Jesus Christ. You remember all these parables are linked together. Jesus Christ is the key always. It says there in 38, it already tells us what the field is in these parables. It says the field is the world. It already tells us what it is. That's why I said don't take it out of context. Don't try to imagine what the field is, because it's already told you in the Bible exactly what the field is. It's the world. Well, verse 37, the man finds a treasure. Always, what is the man in all these parables? The man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. He tells that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Man's always doing something here. They're always doing something. Now, this treasure is hidden in the field, and it's not Jesus Christ. He's the one that discovers this treasure in the field. He finds this treasure, and then he hides it again. He finds this treasure and hides it again. Now, we know that if you find Jesus Christ thinking that Jesus Christ is this treasure, we know that Jesus Christ is not for sale. If he was for sale, what would you give to buy Jesus Christ? Salvation, you cannot buy, you cannot purchase salvation. You cannot be good enough. You are not good enough. Well, I try to live a good life. I try to give, and I try to do this, and I think I'm a pretty good person. The Word of God, only thing wrong with that, the Word of God says none good. So if you sat here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ, God says you're not good. God says you are a lost sinner. Now, it's what you believe and what you will think up beside what God says. Who's right? Who's right? Is it you or is it God? You're lost, he says. You're not good. There's none good. You cannot do anything good until you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So you're not a good mother. You're not a good father. You're not a good person, because God says there's none of us good, not one. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that leaves you and I in a position that we need Jesus Christ and we don't have anything to buy with. Now, if it was Jesus Christ that some of the sinner found in the field, you know you can't buy salvation. He says the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know what you have sinned today? If you think that you're good enough today to go to heaven, if you think you're good enough that God's just going to overlook one of your sins, you realize today that you have sinned? If you're sitting here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you know what, you're lost today, and do you understand that you have sinned? I believe everybody really do understand they have sinned. Have you told just one lie in your life? Have you stole something? Have you done something, just one thing? Well, if you have never done anything but just one thing, just one sin, you see, you don't have anything to pay God back for that one sin. But I believe, well, most of us can understand that we've done more than just one thing wrong. We've done a multitudes and multitudes of multitudes wrong, because that we are sinners. And we have the nature of sin. Now, let me tell you what you are this morning. You have a nature of the fallen nature of mankind. You know, a dog has a nature of a dog, and a dog's nature is the bark. Well, you are a sinner. I'm not calling you a dog, but you are a sinner, and you have the nature of your father, Adam, and that nature is that you sin. You sin because that you are a sinner. That's all you know to do. So it says that if this man was really Jesus Christ, what would you give to buy it? You have nothing to give with. We have nothing to buy our salvation with. Nothing. In my hand, no price I bring, only to the cross I cling. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. But we see that Jesus Christ is one that finds this treasure in the field. Jesus Christ purchases by his own blood. He purchased you and he purchased me. That's the only way that you get to heaven, accepting the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way that God can look at you except through the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot approach God no other way. Some people think they pray whenever they're lost. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you have never prayed to God. You have never prayed to God if you're lost sitting in this building today. Oh, well, I pray for my family. I pray for my... You're uttering words, but you're not praying. You cannot reach God except through Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you might have any merit at all with your prayers. You say, God will not hear your prayers except a lost sinner. Lord, I am lost, and I need to come to you, and I need to ask you to forgive me my sins and come to my heart and save me. Well, if you have not done that, you cannot reach a holy God. The only way that you can reach a holy God is through Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took man by one hand, God by the other hand, and he bridged that gap, and there's no other way anybody could ever be able to reach a holy God except through his son, Jesus Christ. No other way. I don't care how many people tries it, there's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't be religious enough. There's nothing that you can do to reach God except through Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ, we understand, the treasure now is Israel. Now, in verse 36, he said, he sent the multitude away, he went in the house, and he taught his disciples again. Now, two purposes he shows here. For you and my eye to know the day. One thing he says, I'm going to keep my promise to Israel. Do y'all believe that? We don't have to worry about any other nation that says, you know, that we're going to blow Israel off the face of the map. In Jeremiah, you'll find out there's only one way for Israel to cease to exist, and that God says, when the sun and the moon and the stars quit shining, that's the only way for the nation of Israel to exist. I don't care about what these nations say. They're going to wipe Israel off the map. There is a God in heaven. It has more power than all the nations of the world put together. And he says, my people will be here when all said and done. So you don't need to keep your eyes on Washington. You don't need to keep your eyes on the far east. You keep your eyes on Israel. Yes, they're going to go through a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you, he says, I'm going to show you one thing. I'm going to keep my promise to Israel, and I'm going to bring my church through. So what he's saying to the nation of Israel, you can be assured he also saying to the church, we're going through. We're not going through the great tribulation, but we're going through. God's going to bring us through. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, understanding that this treasure is Israel. Now, I want you to know that Israel was sovereignly blessed. They were sadly buried, sacrificial bought. That's what it's all about this treasure in a field. Sovereignly blessed, that means that God chose the nation of Israel. You will say, I don't like it. I don't understand it, but I can tell you one thing, you can't change it. Was Israel any better than any other nation in the world? No. There was no better than any other nation in the world. Well, why did God choose the nation of Israel? Because he wanted to. Now, if you can understand that, I can't understand it. He chose them because it was his sovereign choice to choose the nation of Israel. And he said, I'm going to show this whole world how to come unto me. I'm going to show this whole world through the little nation of Israel how to worship the great Jehovah God. He gave the nation of Israel the priest that gave them the laws. He gave them the way to worship God in the temple, also in the tabernacle. He gave them every way they had to show the world that what I could do with a handful of people. God started off and he brought them out of the, you know, bondage in Egypt. They went down in a family. There was only 70 members as they went down. Well, Joseph went down in Egypt. There's only 70 members of that family. And they come out of there 400 years, over 2.5 million, they feel like come out, or either maybe more, out of bondage. God put his blessing on that nation, even while they was in bondage there for 400 years. I want to show the world what I will do with a nation that loves me. I want all the world to understand. And God's plan for the nation Israel, for all the world to look what God can do with a nation, no better than any other nation. But look at the power, look at the great miracles that God performed on the nation Israel. Look like all the nations in the world will want to come and worship this Jehovah God as the nation Israel had their Jehovah God. There's only one place in the whole world, all the many, many kinds of people, nationalities of people that they want, but there's only one place on the world that Jehovah God came down that man might be able to worship him, and that was in the tabernacle. Only place. And then whenever the temple was built, only place was the temple. A God of this universe came to that group of people and says, I want to be your God for you to be my people. That ought to encourage us what God is doing in the church today. God chose the Jews. God says, you're going to be my treasure. In Exodus chapter 19:5, it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be particular treasure unto me above all people. Excuse me. For all the earth is mine. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord God, and the Lord have chose thee to be a particular people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Psalm 135:4 says, the Lord have chosen Israel unto himself And Israel, for his particular treasure, he calls them treasures over and over and over again in the Old Testament. When the Bible don't ever talk about the church being the treasures. Now, it talks about church being the body of Christ. It talks about being the bride, pearl of great price. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever call Israel a pearl, or and also never calls a church really here this great treasure. Well, why didn't they call the nation Israel a pearl? Well, they didn't have no value. A pearl was no value to them. There was no value to a pearl to the Jewish nation. But God wanted to bless all the people of the world through the Jews. He made them so they would be a pipeline. Get this, our application for a church today, for a pipeline to bless all the nations of the world. You and today of the church, we're supposed to be a pipeline of God's blessing to everybody around us. Not a reservoir. They thought they became a reservoir of God's blessing and wouldn't let the blessing get out of that reservoir. We have the church in itself has come a reservoir. How many people this week have you went and seen? How many people have you prayed for? How many people have you chose that you might be able to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ? We become a pipeline and become a reservoir, not a pipeline. He says to Abraham, through you all the nations shall be blessed. A kingdom of priests to minister the message of love. No other nation knew how to do this. They were going to be ministering the message of love. The Bible also came by the Jews. The scripture this day, we have the scripture because of the Jews. It was not given to the Gentile people. This is a translation that we have today. All the scripture came to the Jews, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament wrote in Hebrews and Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. It was all to the Jews at that time. This was just a translation that we might be able to read this. The kingdom of priests was given to the nation of Israel. Yeah, like I said, just keep your eyes on Israel, he said. Israel was sovereignly blessed as any other nation ever have been. But not only that, they were sadly buried too. All these years now, they enter into the promised land, all through the book of Judges, all the way down to the book of Malachi, Israel was a hidden treasure because they failed to do what God had called them to do. Whenever Jesus came, was born in Bethlehem, they had been 400 years of what we call dark years, black years. They had been 400 years that God did not speak to mankind on the face of this earth. They had been no word of God for 400 years from Malachi to Matthews until we hear about Gabriel coming. 400 years, dark days, because the nation of Israel had lost their plan. They had lost their purpose. They was not on display as God's treasure should have been. There was no profit in them whatsoever. They had no power and no purpose. They was a disgrace. They was in despair. And they were crushed under the boots of the Roman Empire whenever Jesus Christ come. They was a hidden treasure at that time when Jesus came. Well, whenever Jesus come, if you notice in the scripture, he began to give them a spark of hope, a little glory that he gave the nation of Israel. Always he said, I come to the nation of Israel. Everything he done for the nation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24 it says, but he answered and said, I have not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He always come to the house of Israel first. The nation that was buried and could not be seen. And then we find they was a buried treasure. And then we find that Israel also was a sacrificial bought. I'll slow down a little bit here if I have time, because they were sacrificial bought. Now this parable, the man has found this treasure in a field and he covers it up again. Now he went back and you know what? He bought the entire field. Now what did it cost him? It cost him everything he's had, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now these three things about this Israel, about how they're sacrificial bought. Jesus Christ revealed this treasure. Jesus Christ redeemed this treasure. Jesus Christ came back and reclaimed this treasure. That's what he done. We find that Jesus Christ revealed this treasure. Whenever Jesus Christ, in many, many verses of scripture, what Jesus Christ came and done in the gospel, Jesus Christ came to uncover it for a brief glimpse of the glory by miracles and lessons, by a flicker of glory that the nation had at that time. But they didn't want this type of Messiah. They didn't want this type of king to show them their treasure, what it really was. But they didn't want to be showed to the world. In Matthew 12 and verse 27 and 28 it says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be judged. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, Jesus Christ had just healed a blind man. Now, he come on the scene to the nation of Israel. They was right there with him, and he come there in his glory, in his power, and he demonstrated what this nation of Israel had the power to do if they get back where they ought to be with God. He done this, but they wasn't ready for that Messiah. Only God could teach like he did, and for that brief moment, the kingdom of God, you see, was opened up for them to see, and for their purpose, it was uncovered. Through many of the things that Jesus Christ done, the nation did, it was uncovered, and he revealed it to them. But their response was, Matthew 13, 14, 15, it says, "Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they see not, and hear they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be covered, converted, and should heal them." You see, they didn't want to see. They didn't want to understand. Do you understand what you are, the church today? Do you understand your position in Christ Jesus? Do you understand your position in the body and the power that God intends for you to have and what you should be doing? They didn't understand that. They were so blind. Well, he just, after everything he done with the nation of Israel, I come to the Jews first, everything that Jesus Christ done, all of his miracles, teaching them, you see, they did not accept Jesus Christ. You know what? He covered it back up again. And then in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 43, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to another nation that bringeth forth the fruit thereof." And that, talking about the church. It was taken away from the Jewish people at that time and was given to the church. Now we are the one that's supposed to bear fruit, the church. Now as we look down the road, we find that Jesus Christ, even while he was here walking around in his ministry, he looked down in Jerusalem, coming over that Mount of Olives, and he looked down that road, and you know what? He saw Jerusalem, old Jerusalem, and began to weep and cry because he had uncovered his treasure, and yet they didn't even realize it. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, and on his, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophet and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I gather thee as children together, even as chickens together her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord," and they'll see him in Revelation. They'll see him in Revelation. How he cried for his nation. He wept for his nation. But they would not accept this. He gave them a glimpse of glory and he covered it back up. I'm going to tell you, he revealed to them this treasure. But not only that, I'm going to tell you what, he redeemed this treasure also. In Matthew 13, 44, I read the start with it says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, and which a man, when he had found, he hid, and for joy thereof he went and sold everything he had and bought the field." You see, it was redeemed. He come back to redeem this again. As we look back at this, John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He came to redeem this. As we look into this, he redeemed this, but not only that, he reclaimed it. He reclaimed this treasure. He bought the field to return and buy this treasure. Romans chapter 11, it says, "I say then, have God cast away his people?" Talking about the Jews. "God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your counsel, and blameless in part is happening to the Israelite until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of the son of Zion the deliverance, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them which I shall take away their sins." One of these days, when your work and my work is over with, one of these days, the church work's going to be over with. See, God's not using the nation of Israel any longer. They're his chosen people right on. He just put them over on the side. Our work is going on. He's given it to the nation. It's called the church today. One of these days, it's going to be that you and I will not be able to work anymore. It's going to be the time of the Gentile to be fulfilled. The church's going to be over with. It's called the rapture. At the time of the rapture, then I'm going to tell you, then the nation of Israel clock starts ticking again. And God's going to be talking to the nation of Israel, not to the church any longer. He will not be speaking to the church any longer. In Psalms 89, verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and as strong as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statute and keep not my commandment, then I will visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Now the Jews have unmentionably suffered in the world we're living in. Persecution, heartbreak, through Pharaoh and on through to Hitler today, to Russia, to Ahabs. The Jewish nation is indestructible. As I said, as long as the stars shine, the sun shines, the moon, as long as that shines and stays in heaven, you'll have a nation of Israel. Never promised to any other nation. Many, many nations has vanished to be on the face of this earth, but not the nation of Israel. The onlyest nation that's ever come back. The onlyest nation to ever be here. They are, I'm telling you, indestructible till God gets through with the people. The application from you and I today. God is going to keep his promise to the nation of Israel. If God keeps his promise to the nation of Israel, and he will, would God keep his promise to you? Whosoever shall come, let him come. If you throw yourself on Jesus Christ, will he see you through? Then he give you a promise that I'll save you. Whosoever will you come? He says, you know what, I'll save you. If you just trust me, I'll save you. If you're here this morning, I'm going to tell you. You may have a little one. You may have two or three little ones. You may have some grandkids. I want to tell you. If you got a child here this day, mother, are you saved? Father, are you saved? Do you know for sure right now, if you closed your eyes and you went into eternity, would you ever see that little one again? But not only that, did you know what? You're bringing that child in this world. And one of these days, that child is going to reach that age of accountability. What is that, preacher? That's the age when they start rebelling against God. Not the age they know right or wrong. They know that real early. But the age they begin to rebel against God. And what would happen if that child was to go out into eternity and it's lost, even at a young age? Well, I want to tell you, that child would go to the same place that anybody else would go to that's lost and don't know Jesus Christ. Well, that's sad, isn't it? Yes, but I didn't make these rules. I want to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, mothers and fathers, you can do a lot. You can make sure that they bring your children to the house of God because they hear the word of God. Now, you can't make your kids accept Jesus Christ, but you can give them the material and let them weave their own conviction in their own life. And if you don't bring them to the house of God where they can hear, how are they going to weave their own conviction if you're going to be absent from the house of God? There's a little child that needs to know Jesus Christ. Then after they're saved, they need to learn about Jesus Christ. And that's where the church comes in and also. That's what we do on Wednesday night in Sunday school and everything else that we try to do. We try to help people grow in the Lord to understand their condition that they might help someone else grow. Now, if you're here today and if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you say, preacher, I like to, but I don't really understand how to go about it. Well, I tell you, as they come for a song for invitation, while they come up here, I want to tell you, you got to first realize that you're lost. That you are not a good person. You are not a good mother. There's no such a thing as a good mother and a good father, a good man, a good woman. There's no such thing. God says you're not good, no, not one. That we all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Well, what would happen to me if I died right now? Well, I really don't know. Well, you know what you need to know? You really need to know. You say, well, I got plenty of time out there in the future, have you? You know, you're on the way back home, you're going to be on the highway. You ever heard about a wreck? You don't have no promise of tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you what, if you go out in eternity lost, the Bible says you go to a devil's hell. Well, how about that young child with you that's already reached the age of accountability, knows they're doing wrong? Where'd that child go? That child go to the same place you go. He'd go to a place where the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not for all eternity. And that child would say, mother, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Mother, why don't you carry me to church? Daddy, why don't you tell me about the love of God? And then the wailing and gnashing of teeth in that place called hell. Not for 10,000 years or 100,000 years, but it says forever and forever and forever. There's no hope. Would you do this today? If you need to be saved, would you come this hour and be saved? How do you do that? Just simply ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. Repent of your sins. And he'll talk to you about it. As we stand right now, invitation is given. God's done his part. I've done my part. The Holy Spirit's working with you right now. Would you come right now just as you are?